We'll be turning in our Bibles today first to Luke chapter 14. But before I begin today's message, I need to announce that YouTube has made its first attack against our online outreach ministry this past week by removing a message posted a few weeks back, actually first part of January. And they told us that we violated their community guidelines. And the message they removed was titled More Fraud Updates. It was a 10-minute presentation that I did following Brother Mark's message. I'm surprised they left yours up. They took mine down. So it was a 10-minute follow-up to Brother Mark's presentation last January about the vaccine. I gave that to further document, you know, the ongoing fraud of the global COVID-19 narrative. Now, this is the first time that YouTube has done this to our channel, taking one of our videos down. Isn't it, Jade? Have they done it before? I think this is the first time. Although we've actually been amazed that they didn't do so before. I mean, we've been talking about how amazing it is. We're hearing all these YouTube ministries being taken down, and ours has not been touched. But we have been posting messages documenting this particular fraud for well over a year, and many other things, too, that we thought we could get taken down for. But we're still there. But they say this time it's just a warning. But if we violate their community guidelines again, then we could get what they call a strike. And after which we can't upload any new content for 1 week. And then they have a three strikes and you're out policy. So the first strike remains on our channel for 90 days. And during which time, if we get a second strike, we can't upload new content for 2 weeks. And then if we get three strikes in any 90-day period, they'll take our channel completely off. And we're done. We're gone. And there have been several other people who have been taken down off of YouTube who have been exposing the lies of this COVID-19 narrative. In fact, Brian Moonen recently had one of his taken down. He's announced he's going to pull out of YouTube and move over to BitChute. But we are on the radar now, I guess. Perhaps it's about time. I have made no attempt to stay below the radar. And if I ever get prosecuted for being a Christian, I want to be sure the enemy has enough evidence to convict me, right? So as a result, we are looking into starting up a new channel on BitChute and perhaps other platforms soon. Brother Jay will be looking into that as he gets time. And therefore, I'm advising today those who have been following us on YouTube to become familiar with our website at independencebaptist.com, and also with our domain at sermonaudio.com, which is where we always post our recorded messages first. They always go to Sermon Audio first, along with any PDF content that we post that accompanies those messages, which I will have some of today. And we all need to see today that this is only the beginning of the marginalization and the separation and eventual removal from society of those of us who refuse to bow down to the beast system in days to come. For today, however, the day the pop Christian world calls Easter, I do not have an Easter message for you today. If I did, it would to explain why Easter has nothing to do with Christ's resurrection. We do celebrate Christ's Resurrection Day, though, as we do every Lord's Day. And in fact, every day that our risen Lord grants us to live the resurrected life He has given us. The Bible is clear, by the way, that Jesus did rise from the dead the first day of the week, not on the seventh day Sabbath, which is precisely why the early church that was composed entirely of former Sabbath-keeping Jews left the old seventh day Sabbath behind to meet together instead on the first day of the week, which was one of the great proofs of Christ's resurrection and the evidences thereof. They met together the day the Lord Jesus appeared to them in risen form to the disciples as they huddled together in that upper room, remember? In fear of the Jews that had just crucified their Lord, He appeared to them, went through the door, remember? And then He appeared to them again the second time, exactly a week later, on the eighth day, to show Himself to doubting Thomas, who missed his first appearance. Thomas learned a few things there that day. One was that the Lord Jesus is both our Lord and our God, as Thomas exclaimed when Jesus showed him his hands and his feet. But he also learned how important it is not to miss a church meeting. If you don't have to, because you never know what you might miss if you miss a church meeting. Luke does say, as he opens the book of Acts, that Jesus showed himself alive after his resurrection by many infallible proofs. And those that want to hear a rundown of those many infallible proofs of Christ's resurrection, I would recommend listening to the message that we posted last year about this time, titled Because Jesus Lives. We covered that last year. But so since we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every Lord's Day, I don't have an Easter message today, but I do have a message about our Savior, our Lord, and our King, the Lord Jesus, and about our singular and our exclusive allegiance to our King, to have no King but King Jesus. Amen. About the forces in this world that are attempting to demand that we give our allegiance and our unconditional obedience, not to Christ, but instead to the system of the beast that is being implemented as we speak by the devil's globalist elite, and about how it is becoming increasingly quickly true across the globe, worldwide, by the way, that those who refuse to do so, refuse to pledge their allegiance and give their obeisance to the devil's beast system, those who refuse to believe its lies or to wear its mask or to take its injection, its jab in their arm, soon possibly to be a square little microneedle patch on their hand, its mark, are right now already being marginalized and even criminalized, just as the Jews were in Nazi Germany before World War II. It's already happening. In last week's message, I mentioned the apostate Freemason, so-called evangelist, the Reverend Billy Graham. This week, I need to make mention of Mr. Graham's equally apostate son, Franklin Graham, who still, by the way, heads up the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, along with his Samaritan's Purse philanthropic enterprise. Back in the 1990s, there was a popular phrase being promulgated among pop Christian T-shirts and bracelets and bumper stickers and Bible bookmarkers, often abbreviated with the acronym WWJD, asking the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It appears that very question was posed to Franklin Graham recently in regard to whether or not Christians should get in line to get their COVID-19 vaccination. As many news outlets have reported, including ABC News, Graham answers that question as follows. He says, I think if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them. Graham, of course, made no reference whatsoever to the mRNA and the monitoring technology being employed in these vaccines, or to the many serious reactions and even deaths that have resulted from these vaccines. But instead, he directs Christians just to trust Big Pharma and Big Brother to tell us what is best for us, as he says his father did that. In a Facebook post just over a week ago, Graham posted this to his Facebook page. He said, I have been asked, if Jesus were physically walking on earth now, would he be an advocate for vaccines? My answer was that based on the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, I would have to say yes. I think Jesus would advocate for people using vaccines and medicines to treat suffering and save lives. So echoing the fear tactics of the controlled media, Graham also said, I think for a pastor to tell someone not to take the vaccine is problematic, because what would happen if that person got coronavirus and died? In reference then to his dad, Billy, he said, anytime there was a vaccine or something that could help protect you, he was an advocate for it, and he took it. Yes, and we also know that also includes taking on an alliance and a love affair with the Pope of Rome and receiving the Vatican's accolades in the Catholic Herald of June 3, 1996, where he was cited as being a friend of the Jesuits in the United States, Billy Graham, friend of the Jesuits. We should all understand that any friend of the Vatican's Jesuits is an enemy of the cross. And I believe Billy's son Franklin falls in that category as well, especially since he put up his Facebook post just after former Vice President Mike Pence the self-proclaimed evangelical Catholic, a.k.a. Jesuit, toured Graham's, Samaritan's First facility with Graham. All this begs the question, though, what would Jesus do in this hour? What does Jesus want us to do as we face this issue? That's a question I need to answer to this church as best I can, and I'll try to do that in this message. Stating first and unequivocally that I disagree with Franklin Graham, first, I see no possible connection between Christ's parable of the Good Samaritan with today's vaccines, unless Franklin Graham somehow equates or compares the Samaritan's binding up of the injured man's wounds and disinfecting his wounds with oil and wine, as Jesus said, unless he compares that to jabbing a needle into a man's arm to inject a potentially DNA-altering serum into the man's body. Personally, I don't see a connection. And personally, I don't believe that if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them. Instead, the crowd thronged the Lord Jesus because he went around healing people of their diseases everywhere he went merely by his spoken word alone. He didn't need vaccines to do that. And by the way, he can still do that today. Even for those who refuse to take Big Brother's jab in their arm, he can take care of us. Now, perhaps the Lord Jesus, the first thing the Lord Jesus might say to us today would be, don't listen to Franklin Graham. That might be the first thing he'd say. However, the fact is that vaccines were not available 2,000 years ago. And the Lord Jesus did not address this issue directly. He did, however, I believe, leave us with enough direction in his written word. And we have enough information about the makeup of these vaccines for us to take an informed position on the subject. One thing we know the Lord Jesus did instruct us to do was to be wise. In Matthew 10, verse 16, Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10, 16. Both in Matthew chapter 11 and in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is recorded as saying that wisdom is justified of her children. Matthew 11 and Luke 9, Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children, meaning true wisdom is displayed in the fruit that results from its use. I'd also point out that the Lord Jesus did teach that physicians can be helpful at times. He did teach that. They had physicians in his day, most assuredly. We know that Luke, Paul's missionary companion that wrote one of the Gospels and the book of Acts, was a studied physician of his day. In Colossians chapter 4, we know that Paul referred to Luke as the beloved physician. All three synoptic Gospels record the Lord Jesus as having said, quote, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." He said that, of course, to illustrate his point that sinners need spiritual healing as they must be called to repentance. So, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. But if the sick didn't need a physician now and then, the Lord Jesus would not have used that illustration. If I break my arm, I want it set right and put into a cast so it'll heal. And I know personally if I have cancer, I'm going to consider having it surgically removed. However, while there are some good doctors still around these days, especially DOs and chiropractors that don't just push these harmful drugs on you, there is no comparison with the physicians of Jesus' day and the big pharma medical establishment of our day. And there is clearly a diabolical agenda behind all the media hype that we are being barraged with and pressured to submit to these COVID-19 vaccines. Daily, all day long, we're being barraged with all of this garbage about how we got to get in line for our vaccine. Lord Jesus taught us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Here in Luke chapter 14, he also taught us the wisdom of counting the cost of any action that we consider taking. Here again, of course, he does so with an illustration to emphasize the spiritual importance of counting the cost of following him as his disciple. We read in Luke 14, verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you," he said, "intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king? Going to make war against another king. Sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, cannot be my disciple. Jesus is here using obvious facts of life, the importance of counting the cost of any action that we consider taking, of weighing the costs and the risks versus the possible benefits of taking such action. He uses this situation of life example here to illustrate the importance of knowing what you're getting into when you take up the cross to follow Jesus. At the same time, though, while Christ's emphasis here is on our discipleship and following Him, the teaching here is actually just as applicable to any action we consider taking. We should always count the cost. And so to answer the question at hand, what are the costs and the risks of getting this vaccine versus the benefits? Perhaps the first question to ask and answer is this. What do we know already? First of all, we already know that the powers that be, meaning the globalist cabal, the elite that hold their Bilderberg and their World Economic Forum conferences that clearly do control the banking, the global central banking system and the globally connected major network media, they've been lying to us all along from day one, grossly exaggerating, inflating the numbers of infections and deaths, and using fear tactics to shut down the global economy to cause mass hysteria and public out. This is globally. Mass hysteria globally and a public outcry globally for a solution so we can all get back to normal all across the globe. And their solution now is this infernal vaccine. Secondly, we know that those same powers that be have done and are doing everything they can to limit and to curtail all access to effective alternate remedies for the COVID-19 virus that have been shown to work very effectively and quickly in order to push their ulterior agenda to direct the entire global population to take their vaccine instead. You see by their projections, they're saying that perhaps by mid-2022, the entire population will have taken this vaccine. That's what they're projecting. That's what they want to have happen. They want everyone taking this vaccine and no one using these alternate remedies that work. What else do we know? Thirdly, we know that they have also been lying to us from day one about the effectiveness of wearing masks and forcing lockdowns and social distancing to prevent infection or spread of the disease. When overwhelming evidence from many medical studies shows that the face masks they are demanding that we dress up in do nothing to prevent such infection or spread of the disease, and that all the social distancing and the lockdowns do is cause the virus to stay in the air that much longer. That's all these lockdowns do. Fourthly, we also know that those same powers that be are whitewashing the risks from this vaccine, of dangerous side effects and possible death from taking this vaccine. Numbers released last week in the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, last week show that between December 14, 2020 and March 26, a total of 50,861 total adverse events were reported to VAERS, including 2,250 deaths. Since December, 19% of those deaths were related to cardiac disorders. 45% of those who died were male, 43% were female. As of March 26, 341 pregnant women have reported adverse events related to COVID vaccines, including 104 reports of miscarriage or premature birth, 578 cases of Bell's palsy reported. 63% of those cases were reported after Pfizer biotech vaccinations were taken. There were 2,578 reports of anaphylaxis, serious allergic reactions. It sounds like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be safer. However, 15 million doses of Their vaccine failed quality control after workers at a Baltimore manufacturing plant negligently put an AstraZeneca ingredient that had been banned in their vaccine. Germany actually indefinitely suspended use of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine for anyone under 60 following advice from STIKO, the country's independent vaccine committee. They had a lot of cases there of adverse reactions. Reports of blood clots, some fatal in people who received the vaccine. And they decided to give the vaccine only to people 60 or under unless they belong to a high-risk category. So that's some of the reports that are coming out. They're being made known. They're being reported to the VAERS system. We know that. Fifthly, and counting the cost here, I believe we also need to know, and we talked, Mark's touched on this back in January, we need to know how these vaccines work, what they are and what they do. I have a little bit to add today to what Brother Mark covered last January. First, we know that these new Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are in fact not vaccines in the traditional sense of the word. Traditional vaccines rely on injection into the body of a particular somewhat deadened pathogen to cause the body's natural immune system to produce antibodies against that pathogen. That's old-fashioned vaccines. And by the way, that type of vaccine is what the case law is built on. Not so with the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. Both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are called mRNA vaccines. In other words, they are built on manipulation of the genetic codes that our Creator built into us to, in fact, direct cell function in the human body. Mark touched on this. The best way to know what's in the vaccine and how it works is not from the hyperbole or the speculation of its detractors, but instead to get it directly from the horse's mouth. And so, as explained on Moderna's own website, and I'll attach a copy of this in PDF to our sermon audio page. This is how the Moderna vaccine works in their own words. And by the way, the Pfizer vaccine is very similar. It, too, is an mRNA vaccine. This is what Moderna says. Messenger ribonucleic acid, or mRNA for short, plays a vital role in human biology, specifically in a process known as protein synthesis. They say mRNA is a single-stranded molecule that carries genetic code from DNA in a cell's nucleus to ribosomes, the cell's protein-making machinery. They say, one, through a process known as transcription, an RNA copy of a DNA sequence for creating a given protein is made. This is the natural process. This copy, mRNA, travels from the nucleus of the cell to the part of the cell known as the cytoplasm, which houses ribosomes. Ribosomes are complex machinery in the cells that are responsible for making proteins. Through another process known as translation, ribosomes read the mRNA that was sent from the DNA in the nucleus and follow those instructions, creating the protein requested by the nucleus step by step. That's how cells work. Then the cell expresses a protein and it in turn carries out its designated function in the cell of the body. They say, quote, at Moderna, we are leveraging the fundamental role that mRNA plays in protein synthesis, teaching your cells how to function differently. We have developed proprietary technologies. They have patented. That's what that means. Proprietary technologies and methods to create mRNA sequences that cells recognize as if they were produced in the body. They're producing these genetic instructions outside and injecting them into the cells. So we focus on diseases where enabling targeted cells to produce or to turn on one or more given proteins will enable the body to fight or to prevent a given disease. They say we start with our desired sequence for a protein. They want this thing to do, what they want the cells to do. We design and synthesize the corresponding mRNA sequence. So they're designing genetic code to go into the cells, the code that will create a protein. Before synthesis, we also engineer that mRNA sequence to optimize the mRNA's physical properties as well as those of the encoded protein. You following along with me here? Again, I'll post a copy of this to our page and you can read it. They say that we deliver the mRNA sequence to cells responsible for making that protein via one of several modalities. They have different modes of getting it in there. Reaching different types of cells requires different delivery methods. And so they can get these DNA instructions, these genetic instructions to every cell in the body. And once the mRNA, the instructions, the genetic instructions are in the cell, human biology takes over. Ribosomes read the code and build the protein, and the cells express the protein in the body. That's how they work. That's what they say, how they work. Then, under the heading of, quote, our operating system, this is what Moderna says. The Moderna website then describes in somewhat Frankensteinish terms what Moderna called its operating system. They say, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. Are you following me here? You take this injection, you're downloading an operating system into your cell structure. They say, we have a dedicated team of several hundred scientists and engineers solely focused on advancing Moderna's platform technology. That's their operating system. They say, when we have a concept for a new mRNA medicine and begin research, fundamental components are already in place. Generally, the only thing that changes from one potential mRNA medicine to another is the coding region. So that's how they can plug and play different drugs in the same operating system. And so then, what's going on here is Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca and these companies are basically playing God here, and then Moderna has the nerve to call their operating system the software of life. The software of life. Right on their website. You read it when I post it. The software of life. And in Moderna's own words, when you take this injection, you are in effect downloading a new operating system into your body. What Moderna calls our operating system. Proprietary. Patented. A system that Moderna and its actual backers and owners have patented and they own, and that manipulates and controls the cell function in the human body of those who receive this vaccine. And so if the powers that be are pushing this system on the planet, own the operating system that controls how your cells function, who owns you? If they've got their patented operating system injected into your body, they own that system. Who owns you? See how this ties in with the mark of the beast? Who owns you? I suggest that is a very important question. Like Brother Mark said in his presentation last January, taking this injection is giving access to every cell in your body to the powers that be. The devil's globalist cabal for them to reprogram as they see fit. And that's exactly what Moderna is telling us, how these vaccines work. What about this vaccine are they not telling us? That's what they're telling us. What are they not telling us? We know from other sources and existing patents that have been registered that they can put nanoparticle receptors in these vaccines that can transmit data to a smartphone or to scanner, as we covered before, so they can monitor and track your movements. This is what we know about this vaccine. Finally, point six. We know also that the powers that be that are pushing this agenda are also now beginning to do everything that they can to ostracize, to marginalize, and to banish from society all those who refuse to submit to their demands to mask up, get injected, and download their operating system into your body. This is the global agenda, and amazingly, it's actually being pushed most strongly right now in Israel, where Benjamin Netanyahu's government rolled out a green card a few weeks back to segregate those who have been vaccinated from those who have not. It put a picture of a sign there on your bulletin of what's going on there in Israel. If you're not vaccinated, don't enter here. There's also a sign there, a picture there on your bulletin of a sign in the church. Vaccinate people this side. And be sure and wear your mask in the pews and socially distance in the pews. What's going on in churches? They're going to socially distance those who won't comply with the beast. That's what they're going to do. On this point, I want to quote a few excerpts from an eloquent article that was posted from a writer actually in Germany. What's going on in Germany? He posted this article titled The Unvaccinated Question. I'm just going to read a very small excerpt here. He says, so the new normals are discussing the unvaccinated question. What's to be done with us? No, not those who haven't been vaccinated yet. Us, the COVIDiots, the COVID deniers, the science deniers, the reality deniers, those who refuse to get vaccinated ever. All right, there is no place for us in the new normal society. The new normals know this, and so do we. To them, we are a suspicious, alien tribe of people. We do not share their ideological beliefs. We do not perform their loyalty rituals. We do so only grudgingly because they force us to do so. So they are discussing the need to segregate us, how to segregate us, when to segregate us in order to protect society from us. In their eyes, we are no more than criminals, or worse, a plague, an infestation. In Israel, Estonia, Denmark, Germany, the USA, and other new normal countries, they have already begun the segregation process. In the UK, he says it's just a matter of time. WEF, the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, the EU, and other transnational entities are helping to streamline the new segregation system, which, according to the WEF, World Economic Forum, will need to be harmonized by a normative body such as the World Health Organization or the UN, the global government they're building, to ensure that is ethical. He says, here in Germany, the government is considering banning us from working outside our homes unless we get the vaccine. We're already banned from flying on commercial airlines. We can still use the trains if we dress up like new normals, put the mask on. In the village of Potsdam, just down the road from 1S, which name you might recall from your 20th century history lessons of World War II, we are banned from entering shops and restaurants. I'm not sure whether we can still use the sidewalks or whether we have to walk in the gutters. In Saxony, he said, we are forbidden from attending schools. At the Berliner Ensemble, the theater founded by Bertolt Brecht and Helene Weigel, lifelong opponents of totalitarianism and fascism, we are banned from attending new normal performances. In the USA, we are banned by universities. Our children are being banned from public schools. In New York, we've heard the new Excelsior Pass will allow new normals to attend cultural and sports events and patronize bars and restaurants eventually. Secure in the knowledge that the unvaccinated have been prevented from entering or segregated in an unvaccinated-only section. The pass system designed by IBM, which, if history is any guide, is pretty good at designing such systems, was launched this past weekend to considerable fanfare. And this is only the very beginning. Israel's Green Pass is a model for the future, which makes sense in a sick, fascistic kind of way. But if you're already in an apartheid state, what's a little bit more apartheid? The article continues, goes on and on, with several more examples. That's just a brief excerpt. But I think we get the idea. The powers that be are pushing this agenda and are also now beginning to do everything they can to ostracize, marginalize, and banish from society all those who refuse to submit to their demands, to mask up, get injected, and download their operating system into our bodies. So in view of all this, I think being able to count the cost, I think we have very good cause to say that Franklin Graham does not speak for Jesus in this matter. I do not and have not denied that there is a real virus out there. I stated in a posted message just over a year ago, after Donald Trump started the fear-mongering by warning of 2.2 million deaths in America, after which he announced his Operation Warp Speed, by the way, to create these vaccines. It was Trump that brought this in. I say to them, over a year ago, that I do believe this virus may well be a genetically engineered bioweapon created in someone's lab, whether in the U.S., the CIA, or in China, that it clearly does pose a threat and does indeed appear to be more contagious and more deadly than prior strains of the coronavirus that it was mutated from. However, as stated then also, the cure that has been and now is being implemented, including the shutdown of commerce, trade, social interaction, global economy, and now this vaccine, is far worse. The cure is far worse than the threat posed by the disease. And it's my position that the vaccine is not only completely unnecessary, it's also completely and wholly diabolical and satanic and evil. And those who take this vaccine are, in fact, subjecting themselves, every cell in their bodies, to possible reprogramming by the devil's globalist cabal, downloading their operating system into our bodies. And again, if they own the system, who owns your body? It's a valid question. I think perhaps we're beginning to see how the rollout of these vaccines may well be the beginning of the rollout of a global enslavement system that will, in its final stage, result in the mark of the beast of Revelation 13, without which no man can buy or sell, which will be no less than the global system of enslavement wherein the beast claims ownership of all who take its mark. And Franklin Graham says we should trust him to reprogram our cell structure for us. If Jesus was here, he'd make reference to these vaccines and use them himself. As for me, I prefer to stick with the way the Lord Jesus programmed my cells to work, and I'll also stick with the remedies that do seem to work on this virus, which, as I stated earlier, means for us, the first thing to do is to seek the prayers of God's people for healing, which we always do, while also loading up on vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, along with, if you have the COVID-19 sickness, along with a couple iodine saline nebulizer treatments per day, interspersed with two or three N5 silver protein nebulizer treatments also. That regimen recently got our highly asthmatic daughter through a bout with this virus, and she's doing fine now, thank you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That was a fairly long but needed expose of the vaccine. But the truth needs to be known about this thing from a biblical perspective. I've stated in the past, before COVID-19, and explained why it was true, that one of the greatest evils that confronts every family in America has been, for decades, the U.S. individual income tax. Explain why that is. But that great evil has now taken a back seat to the horrible evil that I believe was wholly planned years in advance and implemented in our day for the purpose of finally bringing about the so-called Great Reset, as the globalists now call it, meaning the final implementation of the beast system of Revelation 13. Again, the global marginalization and exclusion from society of all those that will not submit to the beast, to its demands, has already begun. In some ways, that's a good thing. Perhaps it might wake up some sleeping Christian to the lateness of the hour, that we need to get busy and serve our Lord while there's still time. The devil is now and has always been literally hell-bent on turning the masses of humanity into his slaves to serve him. And I do believe this vaccine is leading to that conclusion. 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul begins to specifically address questions that have been sent to him by letter from the church he had planted at Corinth. It appears that the newly converted Gentiles of Paul's day had some of the same types of questions that I, in fact, had when I first was born again. Now that my whole life has changed, now that I see the whole world in a different light, with my once blinded eyes now wide open, we talked about that earlier, to the wickedness of this world and to the depth of my own sin, now that I know the great love of the Savior who gave His life to redeem me and to save me from my sin, now that I know that great Savior and love Him with all of my being because He first loved me, and now that I want to drop everything I'm doing so I can serve Him with my life. That's the way I felt when I first got saved. Now what do? Drop everything I'm doing and go preach? Paul said to the church of Corinth, as the Lord said to me, not so fast, you have a lot of learning and growing to do first. You're not supposed to abandon your unsaved husband or wife and go serve the Lord. Don't drop everything you're doing. Don't quit your job so you can run off to seminary. In verses 1 through 9 here, Paul deals with the marriage relationship, faithfulness to your marriage partner in ministering to his or her physical and emotional needs. Then in verses 10 through 16, Paul tells the Christian man or woman that is married to an unbeliever, even with all the difficulties and the trials and the conflict that sad situation may tend to cause, he's not to think that he or she has any right to divorce their unbelieving spouse simply because they are not saved, but that a Christian who finds himself in that position must remain faithful to that marriage partner. And he concludes that section in verse 16 where he says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" Verse 16 here. "Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" Verse 17. "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." Then in verse 18 to 19, Paul applies that same principle to the Old Testament law of circumcision that the heretical Judaizers of Paul's day wanted all Christian converts to submit to. Paul then sums up the teaching in the following verses. Verse 20. "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it." Don't worry about being a slave if you're a slave, an indentured servant. "But if thou may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." Then Paul makes a very important statement. Verse 23. Paul says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. That's a verse we all need to memorize. This applies directly to this whole issue of the mark of the beast and even these vaccines as well. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We were bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the price it took to purchase us from our bondage to sin. We belong to Him. He owns us. We cannot be owned or allow the way the cells in our bodies operate to be reprogrammed by a satanic cabal of globalists who are all hell-bent on serving their father, the devil. We all need to highlight and memorize this verse. The devil wants to own every human being as his slave. And I believe that this vaccine is clearly one step forward toward accomplishing that purpose. But Paul says here, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I remind you once more of the question I asked earlier. If the masses of humanity are downloading the devil's cabal's operating system into their bodies, if they own the operating system, who owns the person that downloads that system into his body? I believe that is precisely the issue with the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. And I hope that this should highlight just how evil this system is. I do believe this vaccine is the first stage of rolling out the devil's mark that's going to be coming in years to come. And I would submit that in such a time as this, especially in days ahead that we're coming into, in such a time as this, this short verse is, I believe, one of the most important verses in the Bible for us to remember. We do have to continue functioning in this world. We have to minister to our family's needs. While we as Christians should be the best employees on the job, serving our employer as unto Christ, because we are the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus, having been redeemed by His precious blood, we are now to have no king but King Jesus. In Gill's commentary on this verse 23, Paul says, "You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Brother Jake quoted Gill earlier. I'm going to quote him again here. Gill says, "This means that we are to call no man master upon the earth, nor suffer any to lord it over them, nor should they in matters of religion and the worship of God submit to the authority of any set of men whatever, but to acknowledge Christ who had bought them to be their only Lord and Master." To this I want to add one very important point, which is that in directing Christians to serve their earthly masters as unto Christ, Paul does that here, he does that also in Ephesians 6, that issue has a direct parallel application in our day only to an employer, not in any duty whatsoever to the civil government, which in no case is ever to be thought of as our master. On the contrary, under the U.S. Constitution, which clearly forbids the imposition of involuntary servitude in the United States, it's clearly established that the people are to be the masters over their government. But as the entire planet appears to have been taken captive by this vast horde of microscopic germs, the powers that be, named the COVID-19 coronavirus, the stage has been set, I believe, for the devil's great reset to have its day for just a short time. The devil's going to have his day. In Revelation, we know that the devil's going to come down to you having great wrath. He knows the time is short. I believe, as Mordecai said of his niece Esther in the Old Testament book of Esther, I believe that we, too, were all born into this world for such a time as this. And as more and more restrictions and requirements from employers and businesses to conform with the COVID-19 narrative restrict us, those who see the evil in these things and who refuse to comply will be forced into more and more of an outcast and persecuted class of sub-citizens, be deprived of basic rights that have historically been secured under the laws of this land. And so more and more, we are going to see the literal truth and the importance of God's command to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we should have this memorized as well. 2 Corinthians 6:17, God says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And as we also read in Revelation chapter 18, we know the verses 4 to 5. John says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Turn to John chapter 9, and I'm going to close the message. John chapter 9. I'm almost done for today, but Lord willing, I do plan to come back to the subject Wednesday night to supplement a little bit, finish up the topic. Today I want to close in this passage in John chapter 9, where we read John 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Read in verse 6, When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Here Jesus said, He is the light of the world. And then he brought the light of the world into this man's eyes that had been blind from birth. This man didn't need a vaccine. All he needed was Jesus. And that's just as true for us today in our day. The darker that this world becomes, the more that is going to become true. I believe where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, as Paul says. And as our day is our social, our strength be. And the more we need Jesus, the more he's going to be there. Here Jesus said that he is the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, he said, Ye, his disciples, you and me, we are the light of the world. We're also the light of the world, and we're also the salt of the earth, Jesus said. It's just as true for us that we too are to be used of God to preach the gospel and open spiritual eyes that have been blind to the truth of God's word. We're to open blind eyes as well. It's getting darker and darker in this world. But just like Jesus, we too must work the works of him that sent us while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. We need to get to work. In a moment, we're going to close with hymn number 439, Work, for the Night is Coming. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, give us wisdom and courage to know how to act in this day. We thank you, Lord, that we have been born for such a time as this. Pray, Lord, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit, that you would use us, that you would open doors of opportunity for us to preach the gospel, that you would help us to create opportunities to preach the gospel. That when those opportunities arise, you would give us the words, put them in our mouth, help us to preach as we've been called to do the works of him that sent us while it's still day. Because we know the night cometh when no man can work. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for all that you've given us through the Holy Spirit, through our wonderful salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.